Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Mark. If you were in Sunday school class, we started a little bit of the message in Gospel chapter Mark 13. We're going through the series of the Gospel of Mark. We've been going through it through a little while. Sometimes it happens Sunday morning, sometimes it happens Sunday night, sometimes it happens most of the time in Sunday school class. But this morning I'm interested in Mark chapter 13. We're going to look at verses, for the most part, 5 through 13. We read the whole entire chapter in Sunday school class. We talked about watching, and it's an interesting story because of the fact that John and Peter, James, John, and Andrew are asking Jesus a question. And when they ask Jesus' question, he's asking about, hey, when are these things going to be, or when are these things going to happen? They're asking about prophecy. And that's one of the popular topics today. Everybody wants to know, hey, what's going to happen end times? Even Hollywood seems like they like to think, hey, this is going to happen, and they make money off of this and that. In all reality, the Bible is the only truth that we know of when it comes to what's going to happen in the end times. And we're thankful that it explained in many different ways. But sometimes people will spend their whole lives studying prophecy, but they never, ever apply it to their life. The Word of God is there and it's on purpose, and it's to help us to live our lives in a way that's going to be honoring and pleasing with Him, walking with Him. I think it's great. I mentioned in Sunday school class, you probably know me when I've said this before, prophecy is not what I would say one of my strong suits are. I don't know what really one of my strong suits would be, but prophecy is not one of those things I would say, hey, that's something I really know, really understand, super strong in. I have a good working knowledge of it. I'm thankful for it. I study it and enjoyed the things I've learned and studied this upcoming week, but that's something I like to be even better at. But one thing that I know, that sometimes people that are super strong on prophecy, not always, some people are really well-rounded, but that's what God wants us to be, is a well-rounded Christian. And when he comes, these disciples come privately to ask Jesus, hey, when are these things going to happen? What are some of the signs that are going to happen? You know what Jesus tells them? He tells them what's going to happen, but he starts off by saying, take heed. It's an interesting Bible study. We might even look at it tonight. I don't think we're going to look at it tonight in the service. But there's over and over and over in the Bible, Jesus tells people in other passages of scriptures, take heed, take heed. Take heed. What does take heed mean? It means open up your eyes, pay attention. Oftentimes, it's talking about personal things. He says, take heed to yourself. And so there are things here that he says, take heed, four different times in this passage in Mark chapter 13 that he wants us to be aware of. He wants us to be wide open, with our eyes wide open, having an understanding, paying very close attention. In Sunday school class, we read through the long chapter, talked a little bit about the prophecy. And at the end, you see it says in verse number 36, it says, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping, talking about how he wants us to be watching. He wants us to be paying attention. He wants us to be looking for his return. That's his desire. He gives a little bit of a parable and story in verse 34. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey. It's a picture of Jesus returning back to heaven, who left his house and gave authority to his servant. So he gives authority to his church and to every man his work. So it's a picture of Jesus returning and what Jesus has done for those who believe. He's given them authority in certain areas. He's given them strength in certain areas. He's given them work for all of us to do. And then he says, and commanded the porter to watch. He says, now I've given you authority. I've given you responsibilities. Now I want you to watch. What does he want them to watch for? He wants them to watch for his return. Do we really live each and every day thinking Jesus Christ could come back today? I tell you, it would change the way we live our lives. We would be, I think, if we cared about it. I know when I was reading and doing a little studying and that question was posed, what would you do if you knew Jesus was going to come back in 24 hours? You know, there were some people out there that says, boy, I would go live it up for 24 hours. I'd just get right with God up in heaven. I was thinking, boy, they got something mixed up. I don't even know if they would really be a believer if they would feel that way. But then most people would say, you know what, there's some people I would reach out to. I would go witness to that person. I would go, obviously the message would be, Jesus is coming back. But at the same time, there are things that we would want to get in order because we know that Christ would come back. Now, there's just a little bit of a side note. I know most of you know this, but maybe not all. When we talk about Jesus' return, there's two different stages in a sense. First, there's when Christ calls his bride home. And that's what we call the rapture. There's a catching away. But the literal physical return of Jesus Christ is when he comes after the tribulation and the second coming. And we talked a little bit about that in Sunday school class. I don't want to re-preach that message. But at the same time, I want to look at this emphasis here for verse 35. It says, "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning." We don't know when he's returning. We don't know when Christ is going to call his bride home. It says, verse 36, "Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all." He says, this is the message for everyone. Watch. Now, we go through all these different things. We learned all these different things about prophecy, and we're going to learn how to apply it to our lives personally. But he boils it all down to one word. One word. I want you to be watching. I want you to be paying attention. I want you to live as if I could come back today. And I had mentioned Sunday school class sometimes what that looks like. And when I was a child, I had parents that would say, "Hey, we're going to be back by 3 o'clock. You need to have all these things done. List the things." You know me, I'm spending hours waiting till the last minute when I know they're going to return, and then I'm doing the list of things. That's just normal. But we don't know when Christ is going to return. We are sure he's going to come. We know it's going to happen suddenly, and we know that it's going to happen sometime in the near future. But here in this story, he boils this whole question down to, look, watch. Now let's go back to the beginning of the chapter and kind of see the backstory of it. And this is where we're going to focus mostly on today. We're going to start in verse number one, even though weeks ago we looked at verse number one already and two. But it says, "And as he went out of the temple, and one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here." There's a focus there. He turned around, they see, wow, look at that. This is huge. This is great. Look at this great temple. Look at these stones. Look at all the pretty things. And sometimes man gets worked up or man gets more focused on things that are not spiritual and physical. And Jesus makes a comment in verse number two. He says, "And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be one left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." He says, look, there's a day coming. These aren't going to even be here. Don't put your emphasis on things that are not going to last. Then he continues in verse number three. He makes this comment, and it says, "As he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately." So he separates, he goes and sits down, and it says that the four, now we know the three, the inner circle was Peter, James, and John. Andrew's also there now, which is obviously Peter's brother. And I think these are the four most spiritually mindset, probably the four upper level disciples, if there's upper level disciples. And they see Jesus sitting over there. They just heard something about, you know, all these stones, they're going to be gone. They're going to be turned over. It's not going to look like that someday in the future. And it perks their interest. They're like, okay, I wonder when that's going to happen. And they're disciples. They want to go ask Jesus, and they ask Jesus, and that's what they specifically say here in verse number four. Tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? He says, look, tell us when this is going to happen, and what are some of the signs? They're excited because they're still viewing Jesus as some type of savior of physical things. They still feel like he's going to bring his kingdom at that moment in time and relieve them from all the bondage of Rome. That was many of the people's responses. But these four, they're interested. They says, like, okay, when are these things going to happen? What are some of the signs showing that these things are going to happen? So he turns around, and what does Jesus do? He doesn't pull out a chart. He doesn't start saying this, this, and this. Instead, he gives them a challenge to begin with. And I want to focus on this challenge this morning. I believe next week in Sunday school class, we're going to look a little bit more about the signs of the end times. But he gives this group of four a challenge. And now he boils it all down at the end of the chapter. He says, I want you to watch. You've learned all these things. He talks about the second coming. He talks about the tribulation. He talks about all these things. He says, but this is what I want you to focus on. Watch. Pay attention to what you're doing. So let's see what the response here Jesus gives in verse number five. And Jesus answering them began to say, if you mark things in your Bible, it's a good spot. It says, take heed. They're interested about future things. They're thinking about, okay, what's going to be happening in the future? What does Jesus say? He says, take heed. I want your eyes to be open. I want you to be paying attention here. This is what I want you to focus on. You're wondering when these stones are going to be knocked over. You're wondering when all these things are going to happen. But here's the most important thing to take heed. The idea of take heed means being eyes wide open, paying attention. What should we take heed of? Take heed lest any man deceive you. He says, hey, look, you need to have your eyes wide open. You need to be paying attention, because there are going to be people in this world who are going to try to deceive you. There are going to be people in this world who are going to try to pull you one way against what I'm trying to teach you and what I'm trying to preach you. Yes, the end times are going to come, but there's something I want you to focus on. I want you to be right with me. I want you to be right doctrinally. I want you to understand the Bible. I want you to understand the things of the Bible. I want you to take heed. I don't want you to be letting these people on TV or these people on the radio or these other people that have some type of title to try to convince you other things than what I want you to learn. This morning in children's church, we learned about the 12 spies that went into Canaan. And I wasn't in there, but I think they sang that song, you know, 12 spies went up to Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. So what does that have to do with this? I told the young people that day, this morning, was sometimes doing what's right means you're going to have to be standing alone. I talked about, hey, there's over 1 million Israelites. And I said, well, just imagine there's 1 million Israelites at that moment in time, and that there's 999,998. And I said, well, maybe 996, because Moses and Aaron's outside the group, that are saying, we can't do this, we can't do this. And you got Caleb and you got Joshua sitting over there. The rest of the world is saying, hey, we can't do this. We're like grasshoppers in the sights of these giants, which is nothing but blowing out of proportion. They don't want to trust in God, so they begin to tell lies. They try to deceive people. So there's 999,996 people, and then you have two over here saying, you know what, we can do it. We're well able to overtake it. We can do these things. Two people who are standing for the truth, two people who want to trust the Lord. If you're going to do what's right, you're going to have to learn that that's not going to be the popular thing. We've not been called to be like the world. We've been called to make an impact in this world. You know how we're going to make an impact in this world is when we're different than this world. And there is 999,996 people saying, we can't do it. But you know what? The two were right, not this many. And he is giving them instruction. He says, open up your eyes, pay attention. Don't just listen to everybody saying something. You say, oh, that makes sense. That sounds good. That sounds right. You can't even trust your own heart. What are we doing trusting other people we don't even know with our spiritual lives, or people who aren't even spiritually interested in living a spiritual life or have any type of spiritual discernment, and they are persuading us to do things that are contrary to the Bible? He says, no, I want you to take heed. And the thing I want you to learn first and foremost is to make sure that you know who I am. Look, and as he keeps on, he says, take heed lest any man deceive you. Don't let people deceive you. Don't let your own heart deceive you. He says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And we saw that in some examples in the New Testament, how people came. We even know of modern day people who says, hey, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Christ. And there are many who follow after them. Don't be that way. He's looking at those four. And the prime aspect is there's Antichrist, and there will be one to Antichrist, but there is many Antichrists in that day and even in our days. And what they are people who are trying to take the place of Christ. And he says, look, don't fall for it. And then he continues on in verse 7. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled. So I would encourage you to mark that also in your Bible. Why is that? Because he's saying there's going to be hard times coming. We live in a day when there's wars and rumors of wars. We live in a day where we face persecution. We live in a day when people are trying to deceive. There's churches, well, they call themselves churches all across America that are preaching a false gospel, and they're not truly born again, and they're following a Christ, but it's not a Christ of the Bible. And you know, it's important that they understand this. And he says, look, there's going to be bad times. And then he says, look, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. He says, for such things must need be, but the end shall not be yet. So we're going to come back to that phrase, be ye not troubled, because there's two different spots I want us to look at today, and we're going to focus on take heed for a little while. But be ye not troubled is also so important, such a key. Things are happening. I have a friend who often, when we discuss things that are going crazy in the world, we encourage one another. We say, you know what? We shouldn't let this bother us. These things are going to have to happen. They have to come to pass before Christ is going to bring his church home. And so when something crazy happens, he's like, oh, there's a new war over here. There's no, and they encourage me. He encourages me by saying, You know, I don't know why people get so upset, get so worked up, but these things have to happen. It doesn't mean you sit off the sidelines. You still pray. You still be a good citizen. You still do everything you can to reach the lost. But you don't let any war or rumor war or any type of persecution trouble you. What do? You serve him. You take heed unto yourself. Let's keep on going. He says, but the end shall not yet be. Then he begins to describe, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. So he's saying, look, there's going to be a hard, difficult time that you're going to experience. It's going to deal with wars. It's going to deal with earthquakes. It's going to deal with different pestilences and different famines. And then he uses the word troubles. There's going to be a mess. I tell you, we live in a day and time that seems like it's a mess around here. And you know what he's saying? These are the beginnings of sorrow. He's referring to that someday in the tribulation, it's going to be even greater. And keep on going, verse number 9. Once again, you have it there. But take heed to yourselves. Now, why is he referring to here? First, he's saying, look, don't be deceived. Here he's saying, look, don't get discouraged. And it says, but take heed to yourself, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings, and for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. Oh, praise the Lord. He's saying that you're going to face persecution. Take heed to yourself. This is something. Don't just write this off. Have your eyes wide open. Because when these things happen, don't let it take surprise. I can't believe the world doesn't like me when I live for God. They're not going to like you. If they're patting you on the back, there's usually a problem. I think it was Adrian Rogers that said something similar to this. If you are not facing any persecution today, it is a sign or it tells the story of your life. It's a life that's not truly living for the Lord. If you live for God, and I know all of us are not facing beatings and stonings, but if you go out and you live for the Lord, you're going to have somebody that's against you. And not only is it saying here that it talks about here, but take heed to yourselves, or they shall deliver you up to councils, and in synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. So it's talking about with civil matters and those in authority. But then it goes, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Then it continues on in verse number 12. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father to son, and children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. So he goes on in verse number 9. He's speaking about kings and authorities. In verse number 11 and 12, it starts talking about how families are going to rise up against one another. After preaching on Wednesday night, we talked about slandering the saint, or the slander of the saint. And I had a church member come up to me and say, you know, Pastor, I see what you're saying. He says, I have family members. And she began to describe to me what she says, I can show you some of the texts. They're attacking me just because I love the Lord, because I want to live for the Lord. They don't believe in God, and it's a persecution. You know what? It's going to come all around us. If we truly live for God, people who are unsaved, unregenerate, who do not know God, are not going to understand why we have a passion for him. And he does not want us to be surprised by this. He doesn't want us to be overwhelmed by this. He doesn't want us to be troubled by this. He doesn't want us to get discouraged by this, because he's already told us these things are going to happen. Look what it says in verse number 13. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I want to encourage you this morning with a couple of different things. Is this thought, take heed. Now we see take heed, we mentioned already in verse number 5. We mentioned in verse number 9. If you drop down to verse number 23, the Bible says also, but take ye heed. Behold, I have foretold you all things. Along what we just learned about persecution that happens in 9, 10, 11, and 12. You're going to be persecuted. He says, but take heed. And why can we take heed? Because it says that, behold, I have foretold you all things. Sometimes, I'm not saying we should rejoice when we're persecuted. That's what the first century church did. They rejoiced that they were able to bear the marks for the name of Jesus Christ. But at the same time, it should not take us by surprise when someone is going to stand against us, when someone's going to do something wrong. And you say, Pastor, well, you see the verses there. It talks about in 9, 10, and 11. It talks about when you get taken before the council. It says in verse number 11, he says, when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak. Isn't that kind of contradictory? He tells you to take heed, but then he tells you to don't take any thought. Well, see, there's a difference. You shouldn't be relying on yourself. You should be relying on the Holy Spirit. So what am I supposed to take heed of? What am I supposed to be worried about? What am I supposed to be having my eyes open about? Be right with the Lord. Be right with God. Walk with the Lord. Because as you're walking with the Lord will give you the things to say. The Lord will give you the things that you're supposed to say before the kings and before the rulers and before our brothers and our sisters and our nieces and nephews and grandparents. Take heed to yourselves means, hey, make sure I'm right with God. Because you can't go out and you try to figure out, well, what can I say to this king or what can I say to this ruler to change your heart? We don't know that. Only God does. And if we would learn to make sure that we were right with the Lord, we might not be troubled so often by the things of this world. Be like, okay, that happened. No one liked what happened there. We should react to it, but at the same time, we shouldn't overwhelm us. So, and not only does it say here in verse 23 to take heed, but also look it says in verse 33. You see it again. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. So you see different things. The first thing you saw, taking heed and making sure nobody deceives you. Secondly, take heed because you're going to be persecuted. Don't let it surprise you. Take heed because of all the things I've already told you. But last but not least, take heed because someday he's going to be returning. Have your eyes wide open. Say, could Jesus come back today? If Jesus is going to come back in 24 hours, what will we do differently? And then why have we put that off is the question we should ask. So take heed unto yourselves. It means don't be distracted. So a couple thoughts when it comes to that. First off is do not be deceived. And we mentioned that already a little bit in back verse number 5. Make sure you're right with the Lord. Make sure you understand that there's false prophets are going to come. We need to understand the truth. There are many people today that just don't have a good understanding and working knowledge of the Bible. The reality is we are torn away from one spot to another spot because of the fact that we listen to people that are not truly preaching and teaching the truth. We should be in the Word. We should be grounding ourselves in the Word. We are the church is the pillar and ground the truth. All those different things, take heed. Don't be deceived. Next thing I want you to think about is don't be troubled. Let's go back to that verse that's found in verse number 7. And when you shall hear the wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must need be. But the end shall not be yet. Think about it. How many of us get discouraged because of what's going on in this world? How many of us get troubled by that? Don't get me wrong. I see sin around. It is troubling. But I'm not going to let it trouble me. I can go to the Lord. I can be a witness. I can do all those things. But I'm not going to let it change me not to trust the Lord. And that's what he's saying here. He says, don't let it take you off of what I have planned for you. If you want to, take your Bible to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, probably because it's a message I use oftentimes at funerals just because of it's a powerful truth that God worked in my heart about. But he's in John chapter 14. We'll kind of paint a picture here. Jesus is getting ready to die. He tells his disciples he's getting ready to die. On this night, he also tells them, one of you is going to betray me. One of you is going to deny me. Actually, he tells Peter, the leader, is going to deny me. And I'm going away, and you can't come. The disciples' hearts are probably overwhelmed and dropping because of the fact that everything they had trusted, everything they had counted, all their dreams, he says, look, I'm leaving, and you can't come. And then he says in chapter 14, verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So right there, he says to them in one of the darkest, one of the hardest moments, after learning that Peter is going to deny them, Judas is going to betray them. At that moment in time, they didn't know it was going to be Judas, and that their Messiah was leaving. And they're getting ready to be crucified for the cause of Christ. And of course, they didn't per se know that. But he says to him that whether I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. He's like, I'm leaving you. Peter's denying me. One of you is betraying me. And what was the message? Don't let it bother you. Don't let it overwhelm you. It's something that was happening when it came to life and was part of God's plan. Don't let these things trouble you. Now, does it mean that we just stick our head in the sand and don't do anything? No, that's not what he tells them at all. He says, hey, take heed to this. Pay attention. Be wide open. Realize that there are going to be people who try to deceive you. Realize your own heart will try to be deceitful to you. Realize you're going to face persecution. Realize all the things I've told you before, they're going to happen. Realize I'm coming back someday. Take heed to all those things, but don't let the things of this world trouble you. Don't let the wars and the rumors of wars. Don't let the earthquakes in diverse places. Don't let the famines. Don't let the troubles that are happening trouble you. Instead, have your faith in me. Have your faith in God. And he continues on and he talks about persecution there. But I want to encourage you today, when we consider the end times, when we consider what's happening, how does he tell his disciples to be responded to? What does he tell them to do? He tells them, look, I don't want you to be troubled by this, and I want you to pay attention. I want you to be focused. So if you're going to take an outline today, it would be do not be deceived, do not be discouraged, and last but not least, do not be distracted. When I think about take heed, it's the idea, pay attention. Don't let the things of the world distract you. Don't let politics distract you. I think you should be a good citizen. I think we should, if God's allowed us to be part of America and allowed us to have votes, I think we should vote. I think we should vote for God-fearing people. I think we should vote for, pray for our politicians, all those other things. I think that's part of being a good citizen. At the same time, don't let that trouble you to the fact that you don't think you can serve God anymore. Remember, we ought to obey God rather than man. And here, it says here, verse number 10, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. What goes along with our theme today for the furtherance of the gospel for the year is don't get distracted. Don't be distracted. Serve the Lord. Yes, you can get so focused on other things that you miss out what he's trying to do. And I'm not picking on prophecy because I think prophecy is so wonderful. I love hearing people teach on prophecy. But sometimes there are people who study it and teach it so much, but they do it for the wrong reason. They do it for curiosity. They do it for interest sake. They do it for knowledge sake. But be careful. Be careful not to lose the purpose why it's in the Bible. It's to help us to live. It's to show us, hey, Jesus is returning. What does that mean? Well, I need to figure out the date and time. He says, nope, you don't need to worry about that. Well, what am I supposed to worry about? Learn how to live for him. Learn to reach people for Jesus Christ, because he's going to call his church home. He's going to return someday to this world. And he says, this is what I want you to focus on, Peter, James, John, and Andrew. Take heed here. Take heed, because there's going to be people who are going to try to deceive you. Take heed, because you're going to face persecution, not only from rulers, but also from family members that don't understand. Take heed, because of all the things I mentioned to you is going to happen. Take heed, I'm going to return someday. And he says, and be not troubled. Don't let this world trouble you to a spot where we are so overwhelmed that we become distracted with the things of this world and we lose our focus off of him. And this story that we originally looked at the end of chapter number 13, where he talked about giving all the authority and giving a work to do, giving it to the porter, and then he left and he said, I'm coming back someday. When he comes back, we're going to be judged. And I began thinking in my own life, before I became a pastor, I had the opportunity to manage different things. And, once again, you hold people accountable. What type of work are you doing? What type of effort you're doing? And it's something we got to remember, that we all want to be good workers. We all want to be good in what we're doing, because that's being a good Christian. We should work hard. We should do the things that God's called us to do. We should be a good witness, a good steward, and all those different things. But then when we come to the spot and we ask ourselves, okay, how much am I really focusing on God, and how much am I distracted by the things of this world? Once again, we can come to church and we can even read our Bible some. We can do all these other things. But is there things in my life that is distracting me from knowing that he's returning? Am I living my life like he could come tomorrow? Am I living my life watching? In Sunday school, I said, hey, we should, when he comes back, we shouldn't be surprised. We should be like we've been expecting him. And now, once again, I know it's going to be a surprise because no man knows the day or the hour, but we should be living our life saying, hey, we were expecting that you would come. We got everything ready for you. We've been planning that you were going to come. We lived our lives understanding that you were going to return. But when we get distracted with things, we become so interested in hobbies. We become so interested in maybe certain studies. We become so interested in all the family. We become so interested in whatever it is that you put in that blank that we lose sight of the fact that he is coming and that there is going to be a day and time when the last person is going to receive, the last person is going to believe, and there's the last person that's ever going to be saved in this world. There's going to be a day that happens. I know people get saved during tribulation, but I'm talking about before the rapture happens. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying that, and the gospel must be first published among all nations. There's going to be a day when the last person gets saved and he calls his church home. I mean, that's exciting. Don't look at this as a way that is, I need to be afraid of this. No, this is a good thing. And he tells us these things. He tells us to be ready. He tells us to be watching. He tells us to be focused. Stop being distracted with all the things of this world. Instead, focus on what his calling is on your life. And what does he tell you to do? Watch, prepare. Be ready for the day that he could return, and you don't want to be ashamed when he comes. Stop letting the things of this world distract you. That's why he tells you, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. It's not that sometimes there's things wrong. Yes, obviously there's things wrong in the world system, but there's certain things that are just distractions, and we've lost our focus, and we don't care if people are saved. We don't care about the gospel. We don't care about the truth because we've let the things of this world distract us so much. That's why he says, I want you to watch. That's why he tells us in this story. He said, what does that have to do with the end times? What does it have to do with answering Peter, James, John, and Andrew's questions? You know what it does? It tells them what he wants them to focus on. Now, he does tell them in verses 13 all the way down. He talks about tribulation. He talks about his second coming. It starts in verse number 24. And he talks about how he's coming back to this earth. And he is coming back someday. And you need to be prepared and ready for that. I understand all that, but take heed and don't let things trouble you. Live for him today. You're going to face people trying to convince you wrong things. You're going to face persecution. Even sometimes family members are not going to understand. I believe I have some family members that don't understand why I do certain things and not do certain things. And most of them would profess to be believers and Christians. And I believe many of them are. But I don't know why it's that big of a deal, or you can do this and that. And they don't try to persuade me, but I do know other people who on purpose are trying to convince and trying to do, and they're trying to, don't be deceived. Take heed. Have your eyes wide open. Understand the Bible. Take heed. Realize persecution is going to happen. Take heed in the fact that these things don't take us by surprise. He said all these things, and take heed in the fact that he's going to return. Are you watching for him today? This morning, when it says that the gospel, when it mentions about the gospel being published, or the gospel first must be published among all nations, make that personal. Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Has there ever been a time in your life when God's convicted you of your sin and saw that you had a need and that sin must be dealt with and that sin must be judged? And you understood that Jesus Christ paid that sin debt for us on the cross, and that he died and was buried and rose again. He's going to call his church home someday, but you realize he died, he paid our sin debt for us, and you put your faith and trust in him. You stopped depending and trusting in other things, and you turn to him and trust in God and God alone. Because if not, you have a lot to be troubled about. He looks at Peter, James, John, and Andrew. He says, don't let the things of this world trouble you. You should be very troubled if you don't know Christ. Because there is a day and time that he is going to call his church home. And if you've heard the truth of the gospel, I believe that your fate is sealed for all eternity. You will be in a horrible place called hell if you have not gotten right with the Lord. If you have not repented of your sins, it's going to happen. So today, two different thoughts. Take heed and don't let these things trouble you. Pay attention, yes. But as you're paying attention, realize God's the one that's in control. Don't become discouraged. Don't be deceived. Most importantly, don't become distracted. You say, why is that most important? Because many times when we become distracted, you know what happens? That's when we start becoming deceived. And many times after we get distracted and become deceived a little bit, that's when we become discouraged. Oh, I don't know what's going to happen in this world. I don't know what this world's coming to. I heard a preacher one time say this. A preacher got up there. He said, I don't know what this world's coming to. And he waited a second too. He said, it's coming to Jesus. In the end, Jesus is coming back and the world's coming to him. Someday, every knee is going to bow. Someday, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. This entire world someday, you say, it is a mess. He says, don't be troubled by that. Do the work. Take heed. Focus on what I've called you to do. Now go out and serve me. Maybe this morning, I don't know if God's spoken to your heart about being distracted. You say, Pastor, I don't really have time to witness because I got so much other things going on. Pastor, I don't take time to read my Bible, but I take plenty of time to read other things online. Pastor, I don't take time to pray because I take time being distracted by speaking to my friends and family so much. And I'm not saying, obviously, there's different relationships you shouldn't be a part of, and there's certain things you should not read online, and there's certain, I'm not saying any of those things are wrong, but I'm saying you can't let those things distract you. Instead, make sure you stay focused. And that's what he tells to Peter, Andrew, James, and John. He says here, they come back with questions. They want to know what's going to happen in the end. What's some of these signs that are going to happen? And Jesus says, answer it. But he answers it, tying it back together to them. Yes, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. What are you supposed to do with it? Don't be troubled by it. Yes, there's going to be persecution. What are you supposed to be? Take heed to that. Yes, these things are going to happen. The abomination, desolation. No more sun, no more stars. Christ returning. What are you going to watch for me? Pay attention to what I've given you to do. All those things are going to happen, yes. But how do we apply it? We take the end times and say, it helps me live for him more. It's not just studying the Bible and understanding every different Bible doctrine or custom. Those things help open our eyes to understanding. But it's what we've learned, we let it affect us. I've met some of the smartest guys that have more knowledge than I'll ever dream of having. But they don't let it affect their hearts. They don't let it affect their lives. Take this thought. Take heed. Don't let these things trouble you. Instead, watch. He's coming back someday. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father,